gotta tell you, Hazy, what a time to flip the switch and take my airplane to Cincy and jump on the Joey B train. What perfect timing for Joey B mania.
You know what's so fair gutless about your whole stance and your fair weather fandom is that I'll bet you noodles you're in the same spot. I get roped into it because the Packers lost on Saturday. I had people legitimately asking, so who are you going to jump on with? Just like O does all the time. I'm not doing that. I'm not a child.
It's different. I played professional sports. I'm allowed to screw with people. I could care less who wins and loses.
Joe Burrow's your guy now.
Dude, yeah, Joe Burrow is my guy. Right now, he is my guy.
All right, sure.
Until next week. The following
and that'll be Mahomes.
Or whatever. Yeah, that's
City
Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes.
Then,
yeah. Jump on that bandwagon. Here's a longtime NFLer, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. How you doing, Jeff?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Well, we're having the same debates I'm sure everyone else is in the football world. I saw your post game over the weekend on TV today. The overtime rules, you know it's coming. Where do you stand on the current NFL overtime rules, and do you have an appetite for change?
No, I like the rule. I think the rule is fine. I think situational football hurts people's hearts, and when your team doesn't do it right and the other team does, it frustrates you, and you know, everybody wants fair, right? But life ain't fair. Everybody's like, oh, if my team got this or my team got that. And at some point there has to be a conclusion, even if it was as good a game as it was. But in reality, the Bills had plenty of opportunities to close that game out and didn't. The Chiefs executed in the latter part of the game to win. And, I got no problem, man. Had the Buffalo Bills won the coin toss, went down and scored, I wouldn't have had a problem with that one either. And so, you know, when I look at it all, I think, hey, the way we've done it is good. I think 10 minutes is good, especially for the regular season. I don't want that much more football if I'm playing, just from the physical toll it takes. But I like it. And I think, you know, ultimately you're going to be divided depending on which team you were pulling for. But I am a fan of the rule.
Well, in terms of where the Bills are standing today, and specifically Sean McDermott, their head coach, I would think he's going to replay this game in his mind 50,000 times over the course of the offseason. But the way they defended with 13 seconds on the clock, the decision to kick it through the end zone instead of squib, maybe the way they defended in overtime, is there one moment in particular where you believe he is probably hating on himself the most?
Yeah, the 13 seconds when Mahomes got the ball. I mean, we can all argue about kicking the ball into the end zone or squib kicking. You know, I know a ton of coaches who are scared to death of a squib kick because if the kicker doesn't kick it right and it bounces wrong, they got the ball at the 40. I mean, you know, there's a million different reasons why people do that in the special teams. So I can understand, you know, I would have probably pooch kicked it like that as well. They could have called a fair catch, but it probably would have been backed up further, or you lose a few seconds of time. But in reality, let's just be real. 13 seconds, the number one defense in the NFL, you think the odds are in your favor, and they should have been. And the bottom line is you can't allow basically two receptions to go down the field for 50 yards and then set up a fairly easy kick to tie the game. And that's what will haunt him is the first hill. And then the second, you know, Kelce catch when he, you know, reduces his split by himself and he and Patrick Mahomes are talking about it. And he has basically walks off the line of scrimmage and is wide open for dang near 20 yards or maybe more. I mean, it will eat you up, you know, things like that happen. And look, we've all lost games that we felt like we should have won. 13 seconds on the clock with the number one defense. I'm not sure anybody in the world would have bet against the Bills at that point.
What advice would you have for Bills management moving forward? We talked about it before you came on, Jeff, where it's like you could be the team, but you're not the team. It's like there's one guy that seems to be standing in your way. You've got the quarterback. You've got all the pieces. You got to stay on the right path. Like, just how difficult and challenging is it for the Bills to just stay on track here and keep going?
No, that's the deal. Stay the course. Listen, this football team, they beat them one time this year, and they lost to them the second time, and unfortunately – You know, they'll have to live with that one because it's one that they gave away. And that's the part that you go back and sell to your locker room. That's what every player in that locker room believes, even the defensive guys that gave the points up late. They had the right call, you know, the two-man coverage where Hill catches it and takes that thing. Like, you can't get beat inside. Like, that's the only, you know, I mean, there are just different moments of the game that are so impactful in that specific moment when you feel like if you're the coaching staff or the front office that you go, we did it right. We just, they executed better than us. And at some point, you know, teams play better in games and that happened. But that is not, you know, this team has made, enormous strides over the last 2 years. Josh Allen's play and performance continues to get better. Their line the past month and a half-ish maybe, their offensive line got significantly better. I thought Daboll did a really good job calling it. And you know, man, you got the number one or one of the top defenses in the league. There ain't a whole lot of holes to fill. Just stay the course. I've been on the team that's sitting where the Bills are when we were, you know, battling the Patriots, and for whatever reason early on they had our number, and it's one of those things, man, where once you finally start beating them, it all starts to go your way. I think that's the part that you got to sell to your guys, because that's the truth of it. They made more plays down the stretch, and that's frustrating, but that's the game.
With Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst and former NFLer, continuing with kind of the pessimistic blame game kind of angle here. Saturday night, Green Bay ends up losing. Where does Aaron Rodgers and his play rank for you in terms of the primary reasons for that loss in Green Bay?
Ooh, I mean, obviously he has a role, right? Not enough big plays. I mean, they did a great job of taking Davante Adams and limiting his production. You know, the first drive, obviously, you know, looked like, man, this is going to be, you know, they're going to blow the doors off of them. But man, you know, special teams, you can't give up points and you can't get blocks. I mean, not only do you take points off your own board, you give up. That's a huge swing. And so, I am not one who necessarily ties wins to quarterbacks all the time. I can tell you it frustrates me at times when everybody talks about Peyton and Aaron's record. I'm like, wait a minute. We did some work there too, you know. So as much as I want people to share the credit, I want them to share the blame as well. He obviously did not play his best. They didn't make enough plays, but I would not just lay this at the feet of Aaron Rodgers and say, man, he wants to play better. He didn't play his best game, but when you look at it, what are you going, 20 of 27 or something and 200 and something yards, but just no real explosive, you know, money plays. The Aaron Jones catch down the sideline, I thought, man, if he got to he got to the end zone, it's a different game. And that's just, you look back at it. But he's a quarterback that if you have him on your squad, you're a contender. And so whether you love the guy or hate the guy, he makes the Packers one of the best teams in the NFC and will continue if he sticks there.
Jeff, you think Tom Brady plays football next year?
I do, man. I mean, look, I think this is the seasons are long, and I think fans forget, they're only seeing a microcosm of what it really looks like. You know, it's like, man, you get a snapshot of our season looking, you know, watching one game, every weekend for 17 weeks and then hopefully the playoffs. Man, if you knew how much goes into it, especially for a guy like that and at his age in particular. I think I was 38 when I retired, maybe. Life is so different. I mean, when you're comparing yourself to the 21-year-old, you know, fresh out of college, or 22-year-old, he's fresh out of college and dude's bouncing off the walls, never tired. And you're like, I got to get in. And I don't think Tom Brady even drinks coffee, but I got to drink my third cup of coffee to want to go to practice. It's just different, man. It's fatiguing, but I think he'll get some rest, and I think he wants to play, you know, through 45, and that would require this season. And obviously, he's fully capable, man. The dude, in my opinion, was the MVP. I know people are talking about Rodgers are going to get it, but you got the most completions, most yards, just keep checking every box. Golly, I mean, it's just he's just been incredible.
With Jeff Saturday, I think, you know, Joe Burrow, everyone's trying to attach one of these older legends to the future of Joe Burrow. Like, is he the next Brady? Is he the next Rodgers? Whoever it is, he's making a name for himself early. Now they roll into Kansas City, a team they beat a few weeks ago, although it was at home. But can you put this into perspective, how quickly he's turned around Cincinnati, what Joe Burrow has managed to do in only a couple of years?
No, I mean, listen, honestly, the most amazing part to me is his ability to stand in a pocket where he knows he's going to get murdered. I mean, like that in itself is just, it's mind-boggling. I played with two Hall of Famers, and I can assure you, first of all, we never give nine sacks, but if a dude's getting touched, he is, you know, there's going to be tablets broken and some choice words are coming your way. It's like Burrow doesn't even get rattled, dude. Doesn't say anything to the offense. Just keeps getting up and delivering. That's after an ACL and dang near leg look like it got ripped off, you know. And it,
right.
I have just been amazed, honestly, at his ability to stand in that pocket, man, and continue to deliver for this football team. And hats off to him. And I'm not one who associates with the next. I mean, Joe Burrow is going to be Joe Burrow, and I hope he has an incredible career but let them all stand for what they are, because they're all different. But, man, it's special to watch. There's no doubt.
No, there's no question about that. And we'd be remiss not to ask you about the other two teams that, you know, that won over the weekend. That'd be the Rams and the Niners. And, you know, as a former center yourself, you look at those front four, the front seven, but just the pass rush that we witnessed all night on Saturday and all afternoon with L.A. and San Fran, respectively. How does that make you forecast what we're going to see next weekend?
Oh, man, incredible. Like what a matchup by both. I mean, you know what I mean? And I think the Rams probably have a little larger margin for error, you know, like with Stafford, Kupp, OBJ, you know, from an explosive play kind of capability. And then you go, wait a minute, they were up 17-0. And came back. And so pass rush on both these teams is going to be enormous. The game's going to be won on the line of scrimmage, and that's the Rams not only being able to attack Jimmy G, but stopping Deebo Samuel when they get those matchups. And what does that look like? And vice versa. And then I think with, man, like Jimmy G, and he, for whatever reason, when he plays the Rams, he has these moments where, you know, he just has these drives, and he's going to have it again. Like, you just know, you know, when you think about it, and whether it's on San Francisco, whether it's Bosa and these guys getting after it, or you flip it over and you got Donald and Von Miller, who has just closed out, man. I mean, my word, or Floyd, they're stacked on these lines of scrimmage. So offensive linemen, man, you ain't, I can assure you, these weeks keep you up a little bit. You know, you don't want to be posterized. You don't want to see pictures for the next 20 years of, you know, you getting trucked and giving up some major play. So any offensive lineman sleeping well this week in the NFC, I can assure you.
Absolutely. It's going to be an awesome week. We only got a few games left. Enjoy them, Jeff. We always appreciate you doing this. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a great one. Take care.
There's Jeff Saturday of ESPN and longtime NFL offensive lineman. Lots of winners, lots of losers, you know, but a lot of competitors this weekend. You know who's maybe taking the biggest L's, or the biggest L of the weekend is Noodles, your boy Baker Mayfield. I guess Baker has decided to take a reprieve from social media. He's out because everyone's all over him. The fact that Joe Burrow also went first overall is within the state of Ohio and going to an AFC championship game.
By the way, before you get to Baker, wait till you see Joey B with Tom Brady type protection. Like, for years you've been watching Tom Brady, you're like, the guy never gets touched. Wait till my guy in Cincy gets that type of protection. You talk about wish lists for quarterbacks. When he goes into head office and says, better fix this for next season, fellas, we're on to something.
You're feeling good about that? Yeah. Your boy.
But Baker,
Baker's getting hit because, well, Odell Beckham Jr. is living his best life in L.A., right? Baker couldn't make that work.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we all know the answer as to why Beckham wasn't working. Right, it was Baker and Josh Allen, Mahomes, Burrow.
Yeah, everyone's just doing it around him. But
everyone's doing it around
him. He's the loudest and plays the hero role when when things are going
not
well.
Not much to the table.
And
it's like
he
needs this attention. Like, it's like, oh, I'm not in the spotlight. Oh, I got to be in the spotlight and announce that I'm going off of social media. It's
exactly.
Like, dude, You're not good enough for that type of nonsense. And what I try to explain to young hockey players, it's like, I always say, you think Steve Yzerman would act like that? He wouldn't act like that. So why the hell do you act like that? It's just the greats of the great, they don't do that stuff. So why are you?
Right.
Why are you?
Learn
they
from
don't
your
do that stuff.
Learn from history. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Do yourself the favors.